Good morning. And welcome to our Sunday morning worship service here at our Savior Lutheran Church. It is March 5th, 2023, the second Sunday in Lent. And we gather here each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for an in-person worship service. You were just listening to our accompanist, Carol Cataldo, playing our beautiful prelude. And our radio broadcast, God willing, will be broadcasted at 11 a.m., WPHM, 1380 a.m. And of course, many of our service recordings are available at www.wphm.net, podcast Our Savior. We'd like to thank our broadcast sponsor this day, our longtime anonymous donor. Thank you very much for sponsoring. Our worship leader this day is licensed lay minister Scott Pike. He is filling in for Pastor Charlie, and we say hello to Pastor Charlie in that warm sunshine state of Florida. We won't tell him how much snow we got, will we? Oh, we're gonna tell him? Okay. All right, myself, Helen DeTerry, will be assisting with today's liturgy, and we thank Denver DeTerry for coming in and working the soundboard. Our introduction to today's readings is, during Lent, we journey with all those around the world who will be baptized at the Easter Vigil. In today's gospel, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born of water and spirit. At the font, we are given a new birth as children of God. As God made a covenant with Abraham, in baptism, God promises to raise us up with Christ to a new life. From worship, we are sent forth to proclaim God's love for all the world. Our gathering hymn this day, Love Divine, All Love Excelling.
Thank you. celebrating the Eucharist today with communion. So if you want to prepare your host and your juice or wine, we will celebrate together later in the service. If you're able, please rise in body or spirit for this morning's confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who journeys with us these 40 days and sustains us with the gift of grace.
Amen.
Let us acknowledge before God and one another our need for repentance and God's mercy. Holy God, we confess to you our faults and failings.
Too often we neglect and do not trust your holy word. We take for ourselves instead of giving to others. We spoil rather than steward your creation.
We cause hurt through your call to heal.
We choose fear over compassion.
Forgive us,
renew us, and lead us as we seek to follow in your ways.
Amen.
Hear the good news. God so loved the world that God gave the only Son so that all may receive life. This promise is for you. God embraces you with his divine mercy. Forgiveness to you in Christ's name, and revives in the Spirit's power. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
If you go with me in this morning's prayer of the day. O God, our leader and guide in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Helen will bring us this morning's readings.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. God's call of Abram and Sarai has a clear purpose, that through them all the families of the earth would gain a blessing. As they set out on their journey, they are accompanied by promises of land, nation, and a great reputation. Here begins the reading. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 121 with the antiphon, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord." I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep. Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil, and I will keep
your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. Our hymn of praise this day will be Praise, Thanks, and Adoration.
Second reading this day is from Romans chapter 4 with various verses. In the person and example of Abraham, we discover that a right relationship with God does not involve earning a reward from God, but it entails trusting God's promises. Abraham is the forebear and model for both Jews and Gentiles. Because we too trust that ours is a God who gives life to the dead. Here begins the reading. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him, who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of our Lord.
If you're able, please rise in body or spirit for this morning's gospel. Return to the Lord God, who is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This morning's gospel comes from the book of John, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 1st verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come to us from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses has lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have an eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:16 is arguably the most well-known Bible verse over the entire world throughout history. The proof is evident all around us nearly every day. Just watch any major sporting event, entertainment venue, or just some random person on a street corner. Inevitably, you'll see some type of handmade sign or some professional athlete's uniform or on their body. You'll see the words John 3:16 emblazoned in big, bold letters. Maybe everyone cannot perfectly recite the verse word for word, but for the most part, most can paraphrase it well enough to make the message understandable. Now, John is our guide through the Lenten season and into Easter. Now, for me personally, Lent is one of my favorite times of the year. It seems that other than Christmas and the Advent season, it's a time when Christians publicly celebrate their faith. We experience things like Fat Tuesday, otherwise known as Shrove Tuesday, a gluttonous day of celebration where we fill ourselves with incredibly tasty, fattening pastries as we prepare to enter Lent. On the following Wednesday, we see people unashamedly going out and about with a black cross of ashes on their forehead for all to see. We talk of what we're giving up for Lent as a spiritual form of fasting, culminating in the Easter celebration. We get to see people in church wearing their finest clothes, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, to me, it's no mere coincidence that the season of Lent comes at the end of winter and concludes in spring. Springtime is a time of growth and rebirth. As we enter this second week of Lent, we find ourselves in contemplation of rebirth, renewal, and new life. For God so loved the world. Now imagine this, a world that our Heavenly Father created. What has this world ever done that God should love us so much? Right out of the gate, this creation of mankind and womankind have proven ourselves less than worthy of that love. From getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden to the flooding of a sinful world, even today, can we honestly look around at our world, the world that we're in charge of and oversee, and claim ourselves worthy of God's love? But despite all our shortcomings, God never fails us with his love for us. He gave his only son. As we have clearly proven as a species, we are truly incapable of living in the way God intended. God looked upon us and chose to send us an advocate. And when I think about this, I am truly humbled. God, being God, could have clearly created an angel or some other type of creation to come down into this world and to straighten us out by any means possible. It would have been easy to assume, based on our performance thus far, that we are more deserving of a punitive response from an angry God. God displays that inconceivable love by sending his very own son to us. As a parent, I cannot imagine a scenario more frightening than to send my child into a precarious situation knowing that they'll be harmed, much less tortured and killed. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I've often thought that maybe we sometimes make Christianity and faith more complicated than it needs to be. Sure, Bible study, theological teachings are important to our continued growth in life as believers. And there is always a place to discuss questions like, how can a camel get through the eye of a needle? And things like that. But for the new believer, or baby Christian, if you will, it's just not that necessary to be that complicated. We can break down Christian faith to its most basic element. It comes down to, can I accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do I believe in him with my whole heart? And can I be assured that I am saved and I will spend my eternity living and beyond with my God and Savior? Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. How fortunate we are. We have as our God a loving God. We see many other religions of the world where the God or deity worshipped is an angry, vengeful entity that must be appeased and satisfied. Or even worse, a God that demands violence and death upon those that fail to share the same belief. This unfailing love from our God goes beyond reason. We are petulant children who have given our Father more than enough reasons to be displeased with us, to turn his back on us, yet he never does. Despite our shortcomings, our God has never changed his plan for us. He sent his emissary, his Son, to save us from this world. He continues to protect us from our sinful selves. There is absolutely no questioning the beauty and simplicity, the inspirational quality of John 3:16. But in reality, John 3:16 is just the highlight reel. It's the preview of the movie. John 3:16 just whets our appetite, piques our interest, and pulls at our heart. Now it's time to understand the meaning and the context of the verse, to see the entire movie. Now we get to be born again, a new life in Christ.
Now, I'm old enough to remember in the late 60s or the early 70s, it was fashionable to refer to yourself as a born-again Christian. And I remember a lot of controversy surrounding that term at the time. To lifelong church-going Christians, offense was taken. The question was asked, was this to mean that if I'm not, that I'm not a true Christian, if I can't claim this rebirthing experience? This is also coming during a time known as the Jesus Movement. The movement came about in the hippie era, and young people were challenging the status quo. The present Christian doctrines, and many people found this type of question less than orthodox, and they found it an uncomfortable way to worship, and they feared it. There currently is a movie out by the same name, The Jesus Movement. I hope to see it soon. That explores when this unconventional approach to Jesus meets with the traditional method of worship. And much of the movement is centered around the third chapter of John. Jesus' statement to Nicodemus, "One must be born again to enter the kingdom of God." It creates a maelstrom of controversy to this very day. Just as Nicodemus found himself very confused by the statement, we still wrestle with it. Nicodemus took a very literal view of what Jesus was telling him and asked him, how can someone return to the womb to be born again? Now Christ had to take the time to teach Nicodemus, to help him understand. So he explained, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Many find themselves in various arguments as to what exactly is meant by this. Clearly, the water is baptism. And you would think that would be a simple statement, but it's not. It prompts disputes on the whole issue of baptism, from what form it takes, such as infant baptism versus age of understanding baptism. Christ even delves into the mystery of the Spirit, comparing it to the wind and not knowing where it comes or where it goes. We could argue and debate on what exactly constitutes a genuine Christian faith, but I would submit that the abiding factor is our relationship with Christ. Many people can point to a specific moment in time where the Holy Spirit overcame them and they experienced an epiphany, if you will. They may have a very dramatic and beautiful testimony to share, and these moments can be truly inspirational. I personally can recall two such moments in my life. One is very crystal clear and the other not so very much. While I was fortunate to grow up in the church, I was inundated with the gospel and the teachings of the church from a very young age. It was just the thing we did and we grew up with. I certainly believed in a triune God, and I was part of the church from day to day. My born-again moment, if you will, came when I was confirmed. Now make no mistake about it, I was not a stellar confirmation student, but I did complete my education. Now it was at that moment when I chose to go before my congregation and commit my life to Christ. I think it was that one of the very first real adult's decisions made in my life. While getting confirmed may have been something you just did as part of a church upbringing, for me, it was a moment when I felt that a true, intimate, mutual relationship had developed between myself and Christ. Now, the second was much less clear, and I've told this story many times, so I won't bore you again with the details. It was my call to lay ministry. This seems to coincide with the statement made by Christ when he tells us that we must be able to believe in heavenly things every bit as much as we believe in earthly things. After much prayer and introspection, I had to accept. I was given a heavenly dictate that I was mandated to follow. Now please, Please don't get the idea that you have to have one of these enormous life-affirming moments to solidify your Christian walk. Only you and God can answer the question, if you have been born again. You need to ask yourself the question, do I have a genuine relationship and faith in Jesus Christ? To be born again is not a singular event in the life of the faithful. It is an ongoing process in our lives up until the Lord calls us home. Paul explains this very concisely in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, the 31st verse. For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, I face death every day, death being sin. We must acknowledge that all things, we will always be a mortal, sinful creature during our lives. And we understand that being born again does not mean we are suddenly lifted to a sin-free state. We do know that if we have accepted the promise of Christ, that he came to the world to save us by his grace, we know that even in our sin, forgiveness is always nothing more than a prayer away. So, dear friends, let us always remember that Jesus came to save the world. There are no specifics, no requirements. If you are fortunate enough to have been born or developed an idyllic life without want, or you have a life filled with poverty, pain, and suffering, Christ's promise applies to you equally. If you are seeking love and understanding and support in your faith journey, then the church is for you here now. It doesn't matter how you dress, how much money, if any, you can give. It doesn't matter if you have questions or doubts. Christ's church is that welcoming, or should be that welcoming place for you always. Christians and non-Christians are those questioning. We wish you love and the newness of life and the grace of Jesus Christ and a never-ending relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. This morning's hymn of the day will be God Loved the World. Thank you.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. O God, you so love your church. Raise up leaders who care for your people. Bless lay theologians, seminary and college professors, and all who are called to the ministry of teaching, that they form and inspire us for the work of the gospel. Merciful God. O God, you so love your creation. Breathe new life into our planetary home. Guide the work of researchers, scientists, and activists who love your earth and who inspire us to care for the natural world. Merciful God. O God, you so love the world. Uphold leaders who resist tyranny and oppression. Strengthen organizations that promote peace and harmony. Direct their work to alleviate human suffering and to address its root causes. Merciful God. O God, you so love your people. Draw near to all who live with mental illness, depression, or addiction, and accompany them in healing and recovery. Hear the cries of those who look to you in their distress. Especially this day, we remember those who are ill or homebound. Tom Bachman, Donna Barnish, Deb Cook, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Sarah Mayer Flatt, David and Karen Hooven, Kirk Langoff, Sherry Mosierak, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Carl Rich, Douglas Weaver, Pastor Joyce Partica Stibe, Pastor Ken Stibe, and their son Mason. We remember the family and friends of Jim Davidson and Brenda Wickings with their recent passing. And we also remember Mary Patterson's sister-in-law, Cheryl, with her recent passing. Lord, protect those serving our nation, both at home and overseas, and may they return home safely. Merciful God. O God, you so love your children. Bless the young in our midst. And delight us with their joy, their wonder, and their curiosity. Revive our ministries with children and youth, and equip us all for faithful discipleship. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your saints. As our ancestors in the faith have been a blessing to us, so inspire us by their example of holy living to be a blessing to those who come after us. Merciful God.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love, your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And Helen will give us our announcements.
A few announcements this day to remind everybody there is a weekly Lenten service happening on Thursdays from noon until 1 o'clock, and that is with St. John United Methodist Church. Again, Thursdays from noon until 1, there's a worship service, and then there's a light luncheon following, and all are welcome. This is the area downtown churches. Several pastors are involved, and we are all welcome to attend, so we encourage all to do that. Our Wednesday Bible studies are still happening at 10 a.m. Our church council will meet again on March 14th. And we also have a council Zoom meeting for training, effective council meetings on March 21st. And a reminder, too, that we are doing a combined choir with St. Paul, St. Martin, and Our Savior Lutheran. And the choir practices are happening here each Sunday from 1 o'clock until 2 p.m. And we will be providing music for the Easter Vigil service, which will be the Saturday before Easter morning, and somewhere around the 5 p.m. We're not sure of the time. Pastor Charlie will confirm that when he gets back, but all are welcome. If you would like to participate in this in any way, singing, musical instruments, you are welcome and encouraged to attend. We will have one this afternoon from 1 until 2 p.m. And with that being said, I would just like to really extend a depth of gratitude. It's really quite amazing that financially Our Savior Lutheran Church has survived not only a pandemic, but the absence of our pastor of 30 years and, you know, making that transition to putting a call out to a new pastor. We just couldn't do any of this without the financial support that is given consistently. So thank you so much for doing that. And with that being said, we will listen to our offering hymn, which is Just As I Am.
Thank you.
God of good gifts, receive these and all of our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as you pour out your very presence through Christ Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen.
If you're able, please rise in body or spirit as we prepare for communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy One, the beginning and the end, and the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. And blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the world made flesh. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to each of his disciples, saying, "Eat this, it is my body, and do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all the drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people, and do this for remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth and his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now please join with me as we delight in the words given to us by Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We will commune with the right side of the congregation first, and then the left side. Thank you. You have received the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through his death and his resurrection, you've received newness in life. Embodied God at your table, we have tasted the goodness of Jesus. With the eyes of our hearts open to your promise, empower us to hear the needs of our neighbors and touch the world with your love.
Amen.
Now, God, the giver of love, Christ, the resurrection and the life, and the Holy Spirit of rebirth, bless you in this Lenten journey. Amen. And our sending hymn will be Lift High the Cross.
Go in peace, serve in love. Thanks be.